Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we started off shaking the Monday morning blues after a long weekend. And we talked about that lion thing again in a relationship. Yep, we surely did. And we got a little deeper into the lion issue. And we talked about the fact that, you know, what to do when your partner lies. Now, last week we did, how do we know they're lying? Well, we know they're lying this week. So what do we do? Well, the experts say establish ground rules for lies. Well, that one was a little sticky because, you know, as I believe it was Tamika said, you know, well, how do I establish ground rules for something that I'm not anticipating? So what do you say to somebody? You know, okay, so if you should lie, I don't know. Well, when you lie, I don't know. I was kind of a little mixed up on that one because my thought was, you know, hey, I want to establish a ground rule for lying. There are no ground rules for lying. If you lie, you lie, and we're going to have to suffer the consequences behind the lie. Yes, that's the only ground rule I'm going to establish. Okay, so I'm not expecting you to lie. I'm expecting you to tell me the truth. You're expecting me to tell you the truth. And that's the ground rules. Now, one of the due time members also said, well, you know what? If we got a lie to one another, we can't talk it out. And maybe we don't need to be together. Yeah. I mean, that's something to consider. Okay. One of the other things we talked about was determine why they lie. Now, here we go again with this touchy piece of advice. Now, I'm establishing why you lie. I could pretty much figure out why you lie about the lie you told. You know, if you cheated, then I know why you lied. Okay? You know, I mean, if you, you know, you took some money that you weren't supposed to take out of our bank account, I could pretty much guess as to why you lied. But I guess, you know, we're supposed to let people speak up for themselves. So, okay. Well, the other thing that was the biggie was decide if you want to stay and determine what you need to do moving forward. Now, that there is something to stick your pen in. Yeah, you know, decide if you want to say it. This seems like this going to be a thing that you do, or, you know, if this is, you know, you, that you're just a liar. That's going to pretty much come out early in the relationship. So you're not going to get too deep before you are experiencing the liar. So you need to figure out how you're moving forward, and if you want to even move forward in that. You know, some people just can't tolerate it. It doesn't matter why you lied. You're a liar. I can't trust you. And we just going to, you know, go about our business. So, you know, there's some things to consider when we're talking about this lying. Yes, 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 yes. So, we then moseyed on down to the top of the hour, and we got our switch tip number 81 from Shanti's. Stop treating faithfulness like it has an expiration date. Now, these switch tip titles are getting quite long. Oh, my goodness. Let's get that one again. Stop treating faithfulness like it has an expiration date. Now, that says it all. If she were not to say another word, you could pretty much figure out this one on your own, you know, just by what the title is. You know, in other words, and she brought out some really good points about the fact that, you know, God and Jesus are faithful to us. And regardless of what, you know, God experienced with the Israelites and how angry he was with them, at the end of the day, he was still faithful to them. That doesn't mean that, you know, you may not have to suffer the consequence of your actions, but, or the lack thereof, but God is still faithful to us at all times. However, our faithfulness has an expiration date. Yeah, yeah. You know, we are not going past a certain thing here. We're not going past a certain time here. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be faithful until you do this, say this, think this. I can't take it no more. Yeah. You know how we do. Yeah. Whether it's to man, whether it's to God, our faithfulness does have an expiration date. We're not as loyal as God is to us. You know, we can stand up to the test as long as we are okay. Yeah. You know, once it starts getting tight and I got to start making some hard decisions, oh, yeah, that faithfulness goes straight out of the window. It sure does. And God just doesn't treat us like that. As many times as he should smash us, nah. Well, listen, the Bible tells us that God does not, you know, deal with us according to our iniquities. Yeah. You know, so if we should be, you know, treated and punished at 100%, he's only going to give us 75%. So think about it. If we can't handle the punishment that we experience, then how in the world would we possibly handle what it would be if God were to fully put it into action? Nah. So just think about that the next time we decide to go off the beaten path because we just can't do it no more, whether it's with a person or if it's with God. So that switch tip. Stop treating faithfulness like it has an expiration date was switch tip number 81. It has been officially 82 weeks that we have been on the air. Yes. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're talking about almost 100 weeks. We got some celebrating to do soon, I would say. Have you been with us since the very beginning? When did you join us? Well, despite when you joined us, we're happy to have you. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Now, I was a little disappointed with my news. I found a couple of things that was worth talking about, but not the stuff that I normally find. So if you got something real juicy out there, I'll take it. 347-285-7777. Okay? 347-285-7777. I'll take it. Like I said, I got some stuff. And, you know, sometimes we end up, you know, getting into some other conversations based on these topics. You know, it kind of launches and branches off into something else. Yeah. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes down. We'll see how it goes down. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to give you a chance to get your quick, safe, healthy breakfast. We're going to give you a chance to call and text a friend. And we're going to tell you to stay in your seats and do all of that. Don't go nowhere because we'll be right back.
Early lung cancer typically does not cause symptoms. As the cancer grows, you may experience symptoms such as a cough that gets worse or does not go away, shortness of breath, chest pain, and wheezing. Other symptoms of lung cancer include coughing up blood, hoarseness, weight loss without trying, and frequent lung infections such as pneumonia. Other health problems may cause these symptoms. You should see your doctor if you have any symptoms you're concerned about.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes. And I got a couple things to talk about, but it's not as juicy as I'd like it to be. So, if you got something that you'd like to talk about, I'm all right with it. I'm all right. So feel free to send it to 347-285-7777. Well, get those pens out. I got a little information for you.
I came across this a while ago, and I've been holding on to it, and then I lost it, and then I found it again. We're talking about our mattress. Yeah. You know, we definitely, you know, probably wash our sheets on a regular basis, but you can't wash that dusty, body sweat-filled, dead skin, pet hair, dirt, and all the other debris that gets all over your mattress. You can't wash that. So, you know, I just want to alert you, in case you don't know, that if we don't clean our mattress, it gets filled with dust mites, bacteria, and mold or mildew, which can create some unpleasant smells, and it can cause allergies, okay? So we got a couple of suggestions as to how to take care of our mattress. Well, first of all, it might cost you a couple of dollars, because I have several of them. And I use a bed covering, a mattress cover. Yes. Yes, because think about it. If you use a mattress cover, you can just pull that off. That gets washed just like your bed sheet. So you don't have to worry about your mattress being dirty. And I'm talking about those mattress covers that are big. Yeah, some of them zip up. And they really started selling them when people was experiencing the bed bugs. Because once your bed is covered, your mattress is covered with the covering, they say it keeps your mattress from getting infected. Okay? So, they say vacuum your mattress to remove the dust. Now, this is for those who do not use a mattress cover. Because if you use a mattress cover again, you don't have to do this. All right? And like I said, it costs a couple dollars, but it is definitely worth the investment. And they say that you just take the mattress and you go into all the crevices, you know, how you, especially those that have that second padding, just lift that up and vacuum that out, okay? And they say it brings dust and dust mites to the surface, okay? So make sure you get into that mattress with a vacuum cleaner, okay? They also say beat your mattress annually, okay? They say be sure to remove dust from both sides of your mattress annually. And they say the best time to do this is in the springtime. And I don't know why. They don't say why. I'm sorry. And they say that, you can't even imagine the dust that will come from it. And they say beat it with a broom. Now, I'm sure they don't mean the broom that you've already swept the floor with. But every once in a while, you have to buy a brand new broom anyway, right? So take your brand new broom. And definitely your mattress. Okay. All righty. Now, what else are they telling us to do? Now, in order to remove the mattress stains, for those of you who have mattress stains, they have a suggestion here. They say the longer the liquid sit on the mattress, the likely it is to foster mold and mildew growth and, of course, cause a permanent spot. It's like anything else, okay? And they say liquids soak through a mattress really quickly. So they say use, like, a shaving cream because that contains alcohol, which is a stain remover. And they say it's thick, so let it sit on the surface, work on the stain, wait about 10 to 15 minutes, and wipe it with a damp cloth and rinse it with 50-50 water vinegar solution. Okay? All right. Now, here are some, a couple of other solutions for cleaning your mattress. Now, for those of us who, you know, have accidents, ladies, peroxide. They say 50-50 peroxide and water solution, and trust me, it works. It works. Peroxide is good for any of that kind of stain, any grape juice stains or things like that. Excellent, excellent, excellent. You can see the color come out like almost immediately, but you've got, it's a mess. It's still a mess. If you get that kind of accident on your mattress, it's a mess. It's hard to clean up, especially if you did not get it early. And you will still see some residual stains, but it won't be as bad, okay? They say if you have urine or fecal matter, maybe the baby, you know, had an accident in the bed. I'm going to put it on the baby. They say that you can use Back Out by BioClean. Now, I've never heard of this before. And that's BAC-OUT by BioClean. That's BIOKLEEN. BIOKLEEN. Or Nature's Miracle. Okay. And they're saying it's available at pet stores. So I guess this urine and the fecal matter is coming from your pet, and I just got sick. Ew! But I know, let me tell you something. I had cats, many cats, and man, oh man, oh man, you want to make sure you get, if you let your cat sleep up in your bed, you want to make sure you get a mattress cover. Now, I've never had that happen in my bed, but definitely on carpets and furniture like that, but never my bed. But for those who do have that experience, okay? Now, they say to remove mattress odors. Okay, I hope you're writing stuff down, because this is some valuable stuff. They say use a mixture of cornstarch and baking soda to remove the smells from your mattress. Yeah. Okay. They say simply shake it onto the mattress and let it sit for a few hours or longer, then vacuum. They say the cornstarch will absorb body oils while the baking soda tackles odors. Okay. They say air out your mattress. So once you, you know, pull the laundry or the sheets off to do the laundry, they say allow the mattress to air away all the dust mites and bacterial growth. Yes. Okay. Come on. I'm giving you some valuable stuff here to save and preserve your, what do you call that? Mattress. Okay. And they say get your mattress professionally cleaned. For serious stains, consider calling a mattress cleaning professional. Who's got money for that, okay? They say that you can treat the stains again with vinegar or peroxide. So, you know, they won't use commercial stain removers. Because, you know, you don't even know what's in that stuff. You got to inhale that. I guess they, you know, use something that you can use, you know, going forward. But at the end of the day, they say get a mattress pad. They say it's not just for comfort, but again, just it takes care of your mattress. You do not, listen, I tell you, I have 4 mattress pads, and that's because although they cost a couple of dollars, they cost, you know, a good one is going to cost you at least $40. Maybe you can catch it on sale for $30. JCPenney keeps them, Burlington, Macy's, Kohl's, Yeah, everywhere. So, and not the plastic one where you're going to be slipping and sliding and sweating. No. Those cost $5.99. Those are not going to cost you any money. But the ones that's really going to do justice and keep you comfortable are the ones that's going to cost like $40. Now, I bought my mattress a couple of years ago. No, is it a couple of years already? It's a couple of years, I think. And I have a 10-year warranty on my mattress. And what the insurance did was they sent me a mattress pad. Yeah, they sent me a mattress cover. So, yeah, because they're figuring if you use their mattress pad or mattress cover, you will not damage the mattress, and it'll last you longer. And they said if I have, like, a certain accident or whatever damage on the mattress, and they can tell that it was because the mattress pad was not on it, it will definitely throw away the warranty. I'll be buying a new mattress. So that was one of the things, you know, that I got. But I had already purchased a mattress cover when I purchased the mattress. So that was two. And I've bought two since. So when I change my linen, I don't have to wait till I get home, put the linen on the bed, put the mattress back. That, no, invest in that. It's worth it. Trust me when I tell you, it's worth it. And if you have a mattress and a foam on top, you want to get like the size above. So I have a full size and I have like a 3-inch mattress foam on top of it. Then I needed to buy queen size. Yes. All right. So don't say I didn't help you sleep comfortably. All right. Okay. What are we talking about today in the news? All right. Well, guess who's back in the news? Jussie Smollett. Well, he's on trial officially. Yep, the trial is starting this week for the accusation that he, you know, lied. Remember we talked about him a couple months ago? Yeah. Now, here, for those of you who don't really know the story, here's the deal. He, in order to increase the sales of his music and to increase the watch of his show Empire, they say he came up with this story. Let's listen to this. He allegedly came up with the story that on one cold and windy night in Chicago, he was attacked by two men at 2 a.m. while walking home from a Subway sandwich deli. Okay? So here's the story he told. He said they noticed him, recognized him from the TV show. They began to yell racial and homophobic slurs at him, put a noose around his neck, and shouted, "This is MAGA, MAGA country." So, of course, because this is someone who was popular at the time, it took no time for the story to spread rapidly. And, of course, the internet, you know how we go, and they say that, you know, all, you know, he got all this attention, all this love, all this support. But after a few weeks, the story just began to crumble, okay? And they said the police ended up doing an investigation that uncovered two brothers who claimed that Jussie Smollett staged the entire act to help bolster his acting and singing career. And they were Nigerian, and they said that they were paid $3,500 by Jussie to pretend to attack him on camera and make him look like a hate crime. All right? So Jussie Smollett was then charged with felony disorderly conduct for staging the attack. And they said two men, he allegedly paid, supposes his attackers, they are going to really be the key in this case because they said not only did he pay them, but he also drove them to the attack site before the incident as like a walkthrough, you know, to make sure that it went just the way he wanted it to go. And now that they're going to take the stand, they're going to have an opportunity to tell the jury themselves exactly what they told the cops. Okay. And they're going to show the jury dozens, they say, of surrounding surveillance footage, and some that will show the attack and others that will show the brothers buying these hats, these ski masks, and these gloves just a few hours earlier. And they don't know whether they're going to put Jussie Smollett on the scene. You know how they always go on in the movies and on TV. Sometimes you're the worst person to actually take the stand in your own defense. So, unfortunately, we have not seen much of Smollett since then. So it's kind of worked against him and it's backfired. Yeah, because if he did this for attention, he lost. First of all, they immediately got rid of him on Empire. And that was his bread and butter, his consistent bread and butter. So you wanted that to increase the viewership. Well, that definitely went down the drain because that did not happen. Okay? And they say that he has been doing some directing, some behind-the-scenes work on an independent film called B-Boy Blues. And that's going to premiere in a couple of festivals. So, you know, it's not like he hasn't been doing anything, but again, he's really not, it just really didn't help him any. He was talented enough and gifted enough with his singing, you know, that he could have done a whole lot of things. So, you know, you just please don't do what you feel will boost, you know, your career. Because that just doesn't seem to work. It's only a temporary fix. And if it doesn't work, you are messed up. All right? Well, finally, we're changing the story. The Catholic nuns, they say, is lifting the veil on abuse in the convent. Now, they have stayed pretty quiet. Every once in a while, you hear something about, you know, their accusation of, you know, things that weren't going the way they felt it should go, or even the way it really should go. Well, they are not messing around. Out in the Vatican City, they say the young nuns, see, I keep telling you, this generation here, they ain't playing. They ain't playing. What these old biddies have been doing for years, have been allowing for years, this new generation is not doing it yet. The young nuns have been ratting out Mother Superior and been telling the powers that be, that they've been complaining to her that the priests have been, you know, trying to molest them and, you know, making advances at them. And her response was, it was their fault for provoking him. Really? Really? They say when an African nun in Minnesota asked why it was always that they, outside the fence, had to always shovel the snow, they were told it was because they were young and strong, even though the whites on the other side of the fence, sisters of the same age, did not have to do that. So not only are they experiencing sexual harassment, but they're also experiencing some level of discrimination as well. And they say that, you know, these women are spending all their time there, as we know, in prayer and doing household work and all of this kind of stuff. And they are really experiencing a lot of psychological, emotional, and physical abuse. And they're talking about it now. So they're not playing. They're not playing. I keep telling you, we can keep a whole lot of people silent. This young generation, they ain't shutting up. That's not happening. Well, they say that there was an account of 11 women, and they were talking about their hard time with this mother superior and the old way they did things. And they said that those, you know, these older women wanted to, you know, demand obedience, like they were a bunch of dogs. And at the same time, they were experiencing a lot of cruelty and humiliation. And they say that a South American woman who joined one of the convents when she was 19 says how they were so strict that they needed permission. The younger ladies needed permission to go to the bathroom, ask for sanitary products during their menstrual cycles. I mean, come on. And then they got mad and said that the younger sisters were always complaining. Every time they said something, they really would squash them. And they said, you know, you have to suffer for Jesus. Really? Woo! Yeah. It's been really bad for them. And they said they're tired of it. Okay. And when they did the research, and this guy is writing this book, he said a lot of that was about power. It was about power. And, you know, they would hide a lot of sexual abuse of the children by these priests. So they were aware as well as what was going on. And they said that it was like a boot camp. It's like a boot camp. And, you know, we've heard these things over the years, you know, like little bits and pieces and, you know, stuff like that. You know, but now they are really, really, really telling the story. And they said that at one point, there were even a few cases where some of the former nuns had to resort to prostitution in order to live. Yes. So while you were a nun, you were forced to prostitute in order to get the things that you needed. What kind of mess is that? Are we wondering why the Catholics are a mess right now? Why they are experiencing the problems that they have? Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Woo! What are we talking about here? Well, it's about that time that we talk to our pastors. Yes, it's Church Folk Day. And you know how we always got to get our conversation going on. Let's say good morning to Pastor Ed. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
I am well, thanks. How are you? Always great to hear your voice. How are you doing over there?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you so much. Hope you all are doing well also.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm doing well. Thank you. And I pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving Day experience. Now,
yes, indeed. Thank
you. We're talking about cleaning your mattress. Do you clean your mattress? Or is there a specific way you clean your mattress? Or do you use a mattress pad like the smart people do?
I was just going to say, you know Raina Robinson Perry. So we have mattress pad.
Yeah, that's just the easiest way to ensure that you don't get these, you know, problems and issues. You know, just get the mattress pad and pull it off and call it a day. Call it a day.
And be a germaphobe, so that helps because she can just take it, throw it away, and go get another one.
Yep. Yep. And if you have a good one, it'll last you for a while. I think the one that the insurance company sent me was a terry cloth one, a really strong terry cloth one, and it wasn't hot, surprisingly. And I've had it, you know, for the time, and again, because I have several of them, nothing gets worn out. So, you know, it's like you said, take it off, get rid of it, and move on to the next one. Ah.
Yes, Lord.
Now, let's talk about Mr. Smollett.
His
happening this week. What do you think about this whole thing? We talked about this before. I don't know if it was on Church Folk Day, but we did talk about this before. We talked about how he said he was a Christian or man of God. I think that's what he said. But now that, you know, these guys are about to take the stand and tell it all for $3,500, and they probably gave them some deal that if they ratted on him, they wouldn't have to go to jail for the assault, a supposed, you know, the lie. But what do you think is going to come out, or his fate, or what do you think? What do you think his time should be?
Well, first of all, he should get the Dumb Dumb Award of the decade. That's the first thing they should give him, because, you know, and I don't want to try to spiritualize this too much, but you know, we always go to the scripture, you know, a man's guests will make room for him and take him before great people. The issue with Jesse Smollett is obviously, I mean, and I'm just speaking from observation, he must have had some type of mental insufficiency, self-esteem issue. I'm not sure, because anyone who knows anything about Empire knows that the show was very popular across the board. His music was doing well because, and to be quite honest, and I know I'm going to get some criticism, I couldn't stand his singing, but it worked for the general public. So it was very foolish. There's no way I can justify or even understand why he did something so stupid other than greed or for attention and for money. So I think they're going to make an example of him, because think about it. We're dealing with the time with, you know, Black Lives Matter and all these things that we see happening to people of color, black people, let's just put it like that, unjustly. And so for him to stir the pot with that whole MAGA and the noose, you know, that we didn't need anything more, because there was enough of it actually happening for real. So now you give people ammunition to say, you see that, you know, they're always whatever. So I think they're going to make an example of him. I don't know that he will get a lot of time, because Hollywood does have a lot of power and a lot of pull, and he's part of that LGBT community that controls Hollywood. So some of them are going to do everything in their power to get him the lightest sentence possible. So, but I do think they are going to make somewhat of an example of him. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these various forces play out.
Okay. We're going to come back to our last story before we... Yeah, we're going to come back to that one. I'm going to handle that one separately. Thank you for joining us this morning, Pastor Ed. As always, it's good to have you. And let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay. Ah, so we're talking about how we take care of our mattress, How do you take care of your mattress? How do you clean it, maintain it, use a mattress pad? What do you do?
I have the mattress cover.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not work to put it on and take it off, but I have that.
Yeah, especially if, again, it's not a larger one and you're stretching it, you know, past the mattress pad and all of that kind of stuff. So that's why I suggest, you know, if you do, for those of you who don't have one yet and this is, you know, you've been maintaining it, that's why I see how Pastor Charlotte said there's some difficulty. Yes, if you have thick enough, make sure you buy just the next size up. Now, each size costs a little bit more than the size, you know, underneath it, but it's worth it. You don't have the headache. You don't have the headache. Right, Pastor Charlotte?
Yes, because when you get the one that fits your bed, and we have the one where that you have to, not that you put on top, but you have to put the whole mattress in and zip it all the way around.
Okay.
I wish somebody would have told me I needed the extra large, even though, you know, it would have been hanging a little bit, but I would have rather did that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
I'm sure.
A lot of work.
Especially with that zipper. Man, that is no joke.
Yeah.
For real. No joke. I had one with the zipper, and it was a pain in the neck. It was good. It was good because you better believe your mattress was covered and protected. But like you said, at the end of the day, man, you were sweating. You were going to lose some weight.
I don't care how many people you have to help you put it on. Everybody's sorry when you finish.
That's right. It's like putting on a girdle.
Yes.
So Mrs. Smollett is back on the surface of conversation because his trial starts today, and with all that is going to come out, and they're showing surveillance tapes and they're showing these guys buying these masks and all of this kind of stuff to get the job done. You know, well, what do you think is his fate? And how much time do you think, you know, they're gonna give him?
Well, one, I don't know him because I didn't watch Empire. I don't even know his songs. I wanted to say that. But hearing from what you're saying, he will be, they are going to make him an example of what for everybody else. I think that by you trying to make your name, because I know my kids watch it, and that's all they talk about. All the young people I know, they be watching it, you know, when it was on, and that it was, like, popular. So I didn't understand why he would want to, he needed his name even more, and he's doing, you saying that he's a singer too. So I didn't understand why he needed to add on. But how long he's going to have that, he's going to be an example. You know, he's definitely going to do that. But then, like Pastor Ed said, you know, on the other side with the people, they're going to fight for him, you know, because he's famous name-wise. So I don't know how much time he should get, but I know he should have punishment for that and then have it where that also he's able to teach others that they don't have to, because he does have low self-esteem, probably. He has a lot that he's dealing with within himself, you know, because even though you on the outside, a lot of people don't know what's going on with you on the inside. When you're smiling and you think it look like you got it together, you know, a lot of times that's where a lot of people be hurting at, because you don't, it's like a silent killer on the inside. And that's how a lot of people, you know, end up committing suicide or trying to find a way for, I'm right here, you don't see me. You don't see me on the inside. Oh, but he should be able to go out to others and to help them once he comes through of what not to do.
Well, hopefully so. You know, you can take this experience and utilize it, you've had to, you know, you're going to have to grow and learn, truly learn for yourself. Truly learn for yourself. Ah, well, thank you for joining us this morning. We're coming back with our last story. Let's say good morning to our Pastor K.L. Good morning, Pastor K.L.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. How are you today?
I am well, thank you.
That's good. So we're talking about how the mattress is maintained in your home. Is there a mattress cover on your bed, or do you have to go through the process of cleaning the mattress and all of that kind of stuff?
No, there definitely is a mattress cover. In my former days when I just moved to Alabama, I was a property manager. And I've seen bed bugs and fleas and all that other stuff, and we've learned different tricks that if you put dryer sheets between your sheet and the mattress, you won't obtain bed bugs. So I've learned a lot of different things. So, yeah, I definitely have a cover on my bed.
Okay, okay. Well, thanks for giving up a little tidbit. And I guess your bed should be smelling good as well if you put those dryer sheets. If you could stand, you know, the smell. Some people don't like the smell, but most times they have some nice fragrances.
Yeah, you can get some mild ones, and they don't have to be the expensive ones. You can go to the dollar store and get a dollar ones. You can also put the fabric sheets underneath your, what do you call it, when you lift up the cushions on your couch, you can put them there as well, and
okay.
You won't get better. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, see, we ended up with a caveat to this conversation. Get those dryer sheets, everybody. All right. Well, thank you so much, Pastor K.L. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Jussie Smollett is back in the news. We talked about him a couple of months ago when he said, you know, he was a man of God. And now this trial is starting. And they are about to pull out the big guns, the guys who he supposedly paid to commit this act. And where do you think his fate is going to be? And how much time do you think they're going to really give him?
Well, I mean, I guess I must admit, I'm like Pastor Shaolin. I'm not really a current affair person, so I have no idea who you're talking about. I have no idea. I don't watch that particular show. I don't listen to the news, so I guess I don't really have any input because I have no idea who he is.
You know what? You could have at least pretended.
Okay. When Jesus was on the throne, and you know, I believe it was him who said, "Remember me in paradise." I don't know what the thief did, but the thief should get a little time. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
But Jesus did forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, so I don't think the time should be long.
We're going to kind of move on. We're talking about Catholic nuns who are spilling the beans. They are officially spilling the beans. They're talking about Mother Superior and how she has treated them over the years, how when they made complaints about the harassment of the priests and the fact that they would try to molest these nuns, they had to hear from her, "Well, it's probably your fault for provoking him." How some of the nuns on our side of the fence had to shovel snow and do all other kind of things, and the other nuns, you know, did not have to do much because we were young and strong, and, you know, they have really had to endure a lot of physical, emotional, and psychological, abuse. Over the years. And, you know, really, over the years, these things have been talked about on a mild surface. But now that they are actually doing the talking, they are really spilling, you know, some private things, such as, you know, they had to ask to go to the bathroom. They had to ask for sanitary products. You know, was it something that was given, and just made, they would be, you know, belittled even in just their regular everyday lifestyle. You know, why am I having to ask for things that you know I'm going to need? And, oh, they rat Mother Superior out big time. And unfortunately, they're saying that, you know, for some of the younger nuns, they even had to resort to prostitution in order to, you know, make it happen over in the convent. Really? Sean, I'm going to start with you. What's some of your thoughts for this Catholic monstrosity?
I am so glad that they are speaking up, because things that you have heard down through the years, you know, and nobody would never address it. So I am so grateful that they are finally coming out and telling. So I give God thanks for that. Slavery has never went away, you know, and where that they're screaming, picking and choosing, you know, of who's going to do what. So I'm grateful to God that they're telling it, you know, and it's sad that, you know, people are still doing that and supposed to be leaders in plural. Okay. So I'm grateful that it is coming out. Mother Superior, always been, because, you know, I've had issues with the Catholic with my son. I believe that I had talked about it before. They had beat my son. One of them had beat my son because he wouldn't drink milk. You know, and that was like 30, how old is that boy? No, that's like 35 years ago. And it could be longer than that. I can't remember how old them kids are no more. But anyway, so they always kept stuff privately, you know, and then when things come, they move them and you won't see them, but they'll just go to another convent, you know. So I'm glad that all this stuff is coming out. You know, it's a shame about how they are still doing it to the older ones. But like you said, these young ones, they speaking up. And in every kind of way, they speaking out now. So I'm grateful for that.
All right, all right. Pastor Kale, have you ever heard of the Catholic Church?
I heard one or two stories. Is that the one with Mary?
What do you think about this, you know, about all of this stuff coming to the surface now from the nuns?
Well, this is how I feel. I feel, you know, Catholicism, the Catholic Church as a whole, has had a real, real bad stain. You know, they've had a real bad stain, from the priests now, you know, to the nuns, to, you know, you're talking about prostitution of nuns. I mean, do we know what nuns take a vow for? Nuns? Now they prostitute themselves? I mean, I think it's really, really, really terrible. You know, it's almost like, you know, Pastor Charlotte was just talking about slavery is dead, but, you know, in the Catholicism system, it seems like, you know, forget Mother Superior, you got Pharaoh. You know, and it's time to let the people go, because it's really, really getting crazy. I mean, all the things that we even, we left the world, you know, in Catholicism, we left the world because we wanted to be closer to Jesus. And now we're doing more worldly things than godly things in the church. You know, at least the world, you can respect the world because you know the world is the world. You know what I mean? And they're going to do what they do. But now you're trying to bring me closer to God, and you doing stuff that's worse than what I see in the world.
No, we got problems there.
No, absolutely, absolutely. You two are bringing up some good stuff. Pastor Ed. Let's twist it up right now. Oh, my, 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 my. Go ahead, Pastor Ed. Give it to us.
Well, of course, you don't want me to get started on the complete apostasy of the Catholic Church. I mean, I'm just saying. From the time that Emperor Theodosius made Christianity the state religion of the Roman Empire, we're talking about as early as 380, that movement has been in complete apostasy. It is a secularized, worldly, base religious practice, because that's what it is, a religious practice. And I mean, the evidence is that when we talk about the discrimination against these African women, African nuns, I don't know why any person with black skin would be foolish enough. And I'm saying that because I come from Creoles from New Orleans. And so Catholicism was a mainstay within that community. I mean, it was actually a pope who authorized the enslavement of African slaves for the Europeans. I mean, there's so many things they need to apologize for, pedophilia. So why is it's not surprising that these nuns behave in the manner in which they behave. Many times the priesthood and the convents were a cover for people who were closet homosexuals. Now they have an excuse, you know, because of the control. I mean, when you talk about an episcopalty as far as governance, I mean, this religion has its own nation state. The Vatican is considered a separate sovereign country from Italy and the rest of the world. So whatever they do within the confines of the Vatican is controlled by the Pope. They have their own police system with the Swiss Guards. I mean, come on, it's just ridiculous. And they're doing it in plain open sight, and the world is praising it. I mean, talk about the whore of Babylon. Give me a break. Oh, it just upsets me. And the historical documentation is there, and we still turn a blind eye. And people worship the Pope. They idolize him like a super rock star. You know, just what was the question again? Because help me, Lord. I know I'm supposed to be answering a question. What was it?
Oh my goodness, you're a mess. But we got that history lesson, and that's what you're always here for. You're always here to give us that history lesson.
I mean, we got the Protestant Reformation because of their stupid indulgences. They actually told people they could pay the Pope to get out of heaven, get out of hell into heaven even before they die. There was a saying that as soon as your money drops in the bucket, I'm immediately praying for you to be moved from purgatory straight into heaven, no matter what you do.
Wow.
Get out.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That's what Martin Luther did at 95 pieces.
Wow. Well, listen, I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Should we, and Pastor Kale, I'm going to start with you. Should we, on this side of the fence, Pastor Ed has already, I had already written my question down, should we put our children in Catholic school? Yes or no, and why?
Now, I would say no if they're teaching religion. You know, for me, I would say no if they're teaching religion. You know, I do know that in the past, in my days coming up, It was more structured than the local schools, you know, the regular schools. So I think they got more out of learning, you know, in the Catholic schools. You know, my son went to a Catholic high school, and he did quite well. We didn't want to put him in the public high schools. But as far as the religion course, you know, I'm not supportive of that at all.
Okay, okay. How do you separate the two? Just think on that one. Just think on that one. How do you separate the two? I'm just curious. Pastor Ed, do you feel that our children on this side of the fence belong in Catholic school?
Based upon family experience, absolutely not. And I'll justify my observation because I've seen the results of it. First of all, they don't really allow you to separate the religion. They have a way of infusing it in. My poor little cousin was expelled so many times, eventually they put him out of the Catholic school because he was a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist child, and he argued against everything. And they would call his parents. He basically, as a youngster, led a rebellion against his particular school. And also, what I found is for those that I speak with that had the Catholic school training, especially if it was a boarding school, they speak to the abuse that happened. A lot of them have emotional trauma from their experience. And I don't want to say exclusively because I can't speak for, but I'm only speaking for those witnesses and those experiences that I've observed. So the answer is no. I would never put my kids in a Catholic school. I don't care how good they claim the academics is supposed to be. The trauma that goes along with it, the emotional, spiritual, mental, is not worth it.
Okay, okay. Pastor Sharlin, outside of beating your son for not drinking the milk, do you think our children on this side of the fence belong in Catholic school?
My answer is no. And the reason why is because they were teaching them about the statues, and they was for me now. At that time, I didn't know no better, but their father was Catholic. So that's the reason why they went there. But as of now, my answer is no. Get a Christian school for them to be able to understand the Word of God, of it, you know, the way that we read it, the way that we teach it, because they had different rules. Of how they wanted in the Catholic. They didn't stay there long, though, because, you know, once I started having issues. But so that my answer is no.
Okay,
they need to be
okay.
In a Catholic school, and we need to have more Catholic schools. We need to have more Christian schools, sorry. We need to have more Christian schools, you know, so with that, the Bible that we are reading and how we are teaching, and that's how they should be able to be raised. Now, when you don't have, you know, like back in our time, when, you know, I wasn't in church at all, no kind of way, that's the reason why I went over on that direction, because that's what he did growing up.
Okay, okay. So, Pastor KL, I'm asking, you know, you have the education and the discipline versus what they're teaching them in regards to, because they got to have some level of religion in the school. How do you separate the two when it comes to your children being in the environment in its totality?
Well, okay, I think for me, because, you know, I guess I'm not a late bloomer in the church. I've been in the church for quite a while. So when you know, we've had this discussion when my son would come home and said this, and this, and I would say, no, let me take you to the Bible. You know what I mean? This is how it is. You know, so I would automatically explain, you know, the situation or fix it. You know what I mean? But, you know, we learn 4 + 4 = 8. We may never use it again, but we have to learn it to move on. So I would tell them, just learn it to pass the class. But I'm going to tell you what the real thing is. And listen, I mean, for years, even in public school and private school, you know, the other side of the fence have been shoving the stuff in our throat or in our brain that has not been true, but we've taken it to pass the class. And then we had to learn for ourselves what it was.
But is that the same as religion?
It's information. Yeah, it's because, listen, when I bring you to the Bible, you know, it's information. I'm going to give you the right information, the truth.
Okay. Pastor Ed, you kind of touched on it. And, you know, we're talking about, can you separate the two when you're dealing with discipline and the educational system? And, you gave your cousin's experience and what you've learned. And the religion part. And Pastor KL just made an analogy to, okay, so, you know, they've taught us about Christopher Columbus, which was garbage. They taught us about this president. That was garbage. So we've come over the years to find out that a lot of the history, and that's really the area of untruth, the, you know, math and science and things like that, that you didn't really find any problems with that. But you really found a problem with the history that they were teaching, that, you know, these things were erroneous. And, you know, as time went on, you know, when we found out that we told our children, is that the same? That's part B of the question. Is that the same as religion, in your opinion?
Okay. In my opinion, the reason why you have to be careful with that, and we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but when you're talking about religion in the sense of it, or faith, belief, you're talking about a targeted spiritual motive, whether it be of the Holy Spirit or of other spirits, there's a target in what is taking place. And so to apostatize or bastardize or whatever term you want to use the Christian faith in the manner that unfortunately we've seen the Catholic Church do, I don't want my kids exposed to that, because it starts a spiritual struggle, an internal spiritual struggle, because they're at school, what, 8 hours a day? So 8 hours a day, the subliminal messages are being, you know, they're allowed to seep in. They're walking around and see all these, I call them demonic statues of saints that they're basically, in the greatest sense of the word, they're worshiping. They're venerating Mary, who's been long dead and turned to dust, millennia ago. And so I don't want that. And I'm going to tell you what, we live next door. My grandmother's neighbor was a devout Catholic. Same thing, coming from New Orleans and Louisiana. And there was an evil presence. She had a whole garden of saints and statues. And I'm not kidding you, she always warned us, don't go near my statues, don't touch them. Pastor Steph, every time I managed to sneak over there, there was like this army of bees that lived in there, and I got stung and whipped every time I went over there. And I mean, that sounds funny, but I'm just saying, there is, I don't want my kids around it, that influence. So, no, I just think you have to be careful of what you allow your children to be exposed to. And these are people you're entrusting to teach and make impressions upon your kids. And when they're infusing that belief, it gets in there. So, it like I said, Cameron was confused for a couple of years after having dealt with being in that Catholic school.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, can you separate the two, the education and the discipline and the religion? So just let's start there.
Okay. I'm going to say yes because of the fact that in the school, you know, they have to go to school and you have to deprogram them from some of the stuff, just like you said, with the history, which I failed. But because I wasn't listening. So you have to already deprogram them from that. When it comes to religion, we have a choice, you know, and then you got to come and deprogram them. And then what happens is they become confused and then they don't know which way because whatever we steal in them when they're small, as they grow, you know, you want them to be able to make the right choice because in your house, whomever house, you know, in our house, you know, we serve the Lord, and this is the Bible that we use, and this is what we do, and, you know. And now when they come back, it's like I said about the statues before, is that's what they was teaching my kids at that time, you know. And then by me not knowing better, I was allowing that, you know. And then when they got older, then they started asking the questions about it. You know, and like I said, at the time I wasn't in church, so they had to go to their dad about what does this mean, and this is what they're telling us to do. So, you know, my answer is separation.
You're going to have to explain that one to me again, because it sounded like you said one thing and then your explanation was another. So I'm a little confused, so it's me. Okay, so go back a minute. So I'm hearing yes, and then I'm hearing no. So help me follow what you're saying. When we say can you separate? Mm-hmm. There's two different questions, and you kind of merged the two at one point. Okay, so you have the education and the discipline, and then you have the religion part. Can you say okay? Well, I can send them to school, and it doesn't matter the religion as long as they get the discipline and the education.
No, I separated the two. I separated the school because they have to go to school, right? And then I said that while they're in school, they're going to learn some things because y'all was talking about the history. And I said, yes, when we was learning the history, that's how I feel that. But then I said that even within that piece, we have to reprogram them, right? And then I was talking about the religion part. I separated them. I didn't put them together.
Okay.
You still lost?
Yeah. But okay. So we're good because that is me. That's what I said is me. It's not you. It's me. So now that we hear all of the stuff over the years, because when we were young, when, you know, all of us are older in age. So even if we sent our children to Catholic school back then, would we still send our children to Catholic school now? That's my next question.
Me?
So I'm going to start with you. Would you send your children to Catholic school now, officially now?
No.
Okay. Could the parents are sending their children to Catholic school deprogram their children now?
Sure. It's just like when you was, you know, if you was in that religion before, you know, and then you came over and you decided to become a Christian, you know, you can deprogram yourself from it. So yes, you can do that with the children too, long as they're not continuing to stay there. You know, you can't have your foot in it and then, you know, and then try to teach on this side too. That's what I was saying about the confusion of the mind.
Well, now I'm confused. Now there's a little clarity here. If I say I wouldn't send my children to the school, then why would I put them in there with the intent to deprogram them? I'm just asking.
I'm saying I would not put them there. I would not put them there.
Right, I got that
part. That's what I said.
I got that
part. Okay.
Right, no. I agree. That's what I said. You said yes. No, you wouldn't put them there. But yet you would, if they went there, you could deprogram them. So if you could deprogram them, why would you not put them there?
And I said that if I deprogrammed them from it, I would take them out. They would not go back. They would not put their foot back there. Like when I took my kids out, right, after I learned about that, they were still asking questions about the Catholic. Then when I had just started going to church, somebody had introduced it to me, and that's what they was asking me, where do your kids go? And I said that they were going to Catholic school. And then once I started to understand a little bit, not much, but just a little, I took them out of there. I had a conversation with their father, and we took them out. And then when they went to regular school, and then I started taking them to church. And then they start seeing the difference from why when we was here, they was talking to the statues, and then over here, they don't.
Okay.
So using my kids as the example.
Okay.
So they never went back, so they don't do Catholic.
Right, I got you. I got you. Thank you.
You sure?
So, I got you. Thank you. Pastor KL, would you put your children in Catholic school at this point?
Yes, I would. Because when I look at the choices that I have, you know, the public schools, metal detectors killing each other, this and that, and you know, yeah, I would, you know, and. I guess against what everybody's saying, I would have to deprogram from the religious aspect. But from the education, first of all, the way I see it is they're getting an education. In these public schools, they're not even, they're at risk of getting an education. Even though they want to get an education, they may not be able to because of the foolery and all the other stuff that's going on. So I have to take the best out of the two evils.
Okay. Pastor Ed, the deprogramming, because we are, you know, you've already taken your stand. The deprogramming, what would that mean to you for your children? And a targeted question.
Okay. So as far as that scenario, obviously I haven't had to do it because I didn't approve of them going to a Catholic school, but it would create extra work because, okay, so, you know, there's some type of chapel involved. There's all the different relics, like I said, that are part of the decor of the school, and a lot of the disciplinary doctrine is based upon Catholic ordinances and beliefs. So that would mean that they would go through whatever they go through for 8 hours a day at the school. Then the time that they have with me at home, I'd have to spend that, you know, reiterating what the scriptures actually say about our faith. And, you know, while, you know, we have at our church, you know, we have youth discipleship ministry, we have Bible study, we have Sunday school. Kids, especially today, are very inquisitive. They're very observant and intelligent, and they are very challenging. They will challenge any and everything. And that just is hard enough raising them. That, for me, that's just too much of a struggle to deal with. I want to be able to teach them our belief system in the home and not have, you know, because at least in the secular schools, they're just pagans, period. So we're already fighting against that. I don't want to have to fight against paganism. Then I got to fight against Catholicism. That's just too much work. And, you know, I have my kids old. I'm too old for all of that. So I'm just saying. So I'm going to make my job as a Christian parent easier, and I'm not going to allow them to be immersed in this form of godliness that denies the power thereof.
Pagans, period, yes.
Can I just say something? Now, I also look at it from another standpoint. You know, just as he said, you know, in the public schools, they don't talk about God at all. You know, in the Catholic schools, whether it's right or wrong, it gives you an opportunity as a parent to for them to come home and speak about God and educate them with God. Because in public school, we're not educating them about God. So they're not coming to us with no questions about God. So this gives you an opportunity to sit down together, open up the book together, even if you're not a church-going person. You know, when you got to do help somebody with their homework, you got to figure out what the homework is. So it gives you an opportunity to research and to know the truth about God as a parent.
Okay, okay. Well, considering that Pastor Ed kind of touched on that already, Pastor Charlotte, do you feel that an introduction to God, good or bad, right or wrong, as Pastor KL said, is better than no God at all?
I would say yes, because it will be inquisitive. That's like how, you know, a person that don't know about him, and we say something about Jesus, and then they, you know, want to know a little bit more. And then that's where you open up the door for them to be able to open up the Bible. So, yes.
Okay. So here's my question. So we're talking about I don't know what you call it. I don't know if you want to say a group. We'll leave it at a group. A group of people who have been known for molestation. Now, we're talking about under the banner of God. So follow me. Under the banner of God, they are silently and secretly molesting even their own and all the other stuff that we've talked about today. So are we saying that it's safer to put our children underneath the banner of this godly, I don't know what you want to say, but under God, knowing that they have all this back stuff, is that better or worse than, as Pastor Ed said, well, listen, you know, pagans, I think it was you in the beginning, I could be wrong, Pastor Kale, who said, at least we know where they come from. You know, we don't expect much from the world because we know, you know, the world shows its face. We already know, you know, when we send our children to regular public school, that we have to educate them, you know, when they leave the house, don't do this, don't do that, be careful of this, be careful of that. You know, is it the same? Is it the same? And I'll start with you, Pastor KL. Which is better and which is worse? The under the banner of church, where you have all this stuff going on, and that would be inclusive of a regular church. I'm not even talking about, you know, let's say for Christian schools, and knowing that they are secretly doing these things, or just putting them in like regular public school and just taking your chances there. Officially, what's your answer? Which one is worse?
Well, I mean, I think when you put it in that light, we take our chances in both situations. You
right.
know what I mean? I'd rather take my chance in opening up the lessons, you know, the knowledge of you opening up the Bible, because I can fix it for you. I'd rather you have some type of form of godliness. So that we can fix it, we can come together. You're not going to get. I mean, who's to say that your math teacher is not part of the KKK? You know, they do their thing with God. You know, they think that they do their thing with God,
So, I mean, you're taking your chances either way you go. Let's open this book and let's learn it together.
Okay. Okay. Pastor Charlotte.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make sure that I'm understanding. Are you saying in the Catholics and the Catholic of what they're doing, molesting and all of that, you added all of that into that, right? Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Versus just going to regular school.
Right. Are we always saying, you know, well, okay, you know, at least they're teaching them about God, even though we know that this is the risk we take. We also know that we take the risk in regular public school, but we don't expect much from them, as has been said here. You know, we know what we're going to get when we walk up in the schools. But I'm not expecting the Catholic school.
My answer is public school. And then I just teach when they come home you know, going, let's join a ministry, let's go in and let's learn about God. That's what I would do. More so of going to the Catholic and you. I'm sorry.
No, okay, so keep going, because maybe you're going to make it clear for me. Go ahead.
Okay. What I was saying, that's why I wanted clarity from you of when you were saying about going to the Catholic school. So if that if that's what they're doing in there, no, they're not going there. They will go over to the public school. So my choice for my child would be going to the public school, and then we will deal with religion on the outside of joining a ministry.
Okay, okay, okay. All right. Thank you. Pastor Ed, we kind of know what you say, but since the question is out there, you know, I want an official, you know, an official answer, because you kind of said it earlier, but I don't want to not ask you individually.
I'm again, and a lot of it may have to do with personal choice, but I am vehemently opposed to sending my children to Catholic school. As far as the religious part, that's something we do at home anyway. I mean, I guess by virtue of me being, you know, I have the advantage because I'm a minister of the gospel, but I teach that all parents have the responsibility to have some form of, the family needs to have some form of fellowship, study time, because in these days we're living in, especially if you're wanting to live a Christian life, you need that just to make it through just everyday life. Forget about school, forget just to go to the grocery store, to go wash your car, to go to work. You've got to have that foundation at home. And so I want my children to get it from me as being a spiritual leader in my home. So, yeah, I can send them to the public school because we know what to expect there. You know, we know what the world is doing. So I know clearly how to combat that. What I don't want is the confusion. Here's one form of God, and like you said, these folks are supposed to be representing God, and we know about the pedophilia, the molestation, the corruption, the bigotry, you know, you name it, and the wishy-washiness, because one pope comes along and says, it's okay to eat fish on Friday. The next pope says, no, you know, our Catholic fishermen need some more money, so y'all gonna eat fish on Friday, you know, whatever. So I just feel that I want a clear line of demarcation. Yes, the school is worldly. When you come home, this is what we believe. I don't want to have to be competing against other, quote-unquote, religious beliefs, because that's what creates more confusion. I can make a clear line between the world and godliness. But then the lines get gray when I got to deal with the world, godliness, some godliness, a little godliness, you know. So for me, it's still a hard no. I'm not saying. And besides, what's wrong with our, you know, because our faith belief, non-Catholicism, whatever, Protestantism, whatever you want to call it, we also have schools. More and more of us are opening schools. So if they're going to go to a religious school, yes, I'm going to vet it. You know, most religious schools have their faith message available for you to read it and understand what their doctrinal belief is, the undergirding organization. So if I'm going to send my kids to a quote-unquote religious school, I'm going to know what their belief and faith message is, and then determine if that's something I want to expose my children to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Okay. You know, I want to hear from the listeners, and I meant to say this earlier, so I apologize. 347-285-7777. We as Christian individuals, would we opt to send our children to Catholic school, or would we send them to public school? So you've heard the expressions of our panel, and I'd love to know what you think. So please give us a hit, 347-285-7777. You know, I would like to say that it's a shame that with all of these mega churches and you can find 9 churches on one street, especially in the city, that we don't have more Christian schools. I'm not talking about daycares and, you know, nursery schools. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about full-fledged, you know, schools. I know the Adventists, they have their schools, but we as a Christian community, we are shy of, you know, having this option for our children. And, you know, why do you think there are very few Christian schools opposed to the Catholic Church, where they have them everywhere all over the place? Pastor Ed, what do you think? Why don't we have this, as many people as you know, as we claim go to church and who are Christian?
I'll tell you, first and foremost is the state, especially a state like New York State. New York State regulates everything because it's about money. I mean, we know that even for your church to be a legitimate incorporated 501c3, you have to go through Article 7 of the religious corporation law. So the state gets their hand involved in it, and many times the regulations are restrictive, especially, let's be honest, if you're in a liberal-minded state like, say, New York State. I'm using that as an example because we've explored that. And so many times the statutes and the ordinances and the different, as my grandmother used to say, rigmarole that you have to go through, a lot of Christian organizations just say, you know what, it's just not worth it. I'm not going through it. And so they give up. But my thing is, we need to persevere. Yeah, and I'm saying that as a guilty party, because we looked into it and I was like, oh, this is just, don't have time for it. But I think it's the expense, it's the red tape, and sometimes the support, because I'll mention St. Luke. You know, we even tried to start a religious school there, and after years of, I was there 3 years, so 3 years of planning and researching with qualified professors and educators, it was still a difficulty to get the legitimate paperwork that was needed to open the school, because, again, the state regulates it so heavily. And so maybe in the South it would be easier because they're more conservative-minded, evil, but conservative-minded. So it might be easier to do it. But we as a body of Christ have to do better and start, you know, working and pooling our resources and coming together in unity instead of all the infighting, and focus on the education of our kids and open some legitimate Protestant Christian academies.
Okay, okay. Now, out in Texas where you are, have you looked into that at all?
Oh, let me tell you. Listen, we have Christian academies on every corner almost, you know, to some extent. So they're here. I mean, small towns. Because remember, Texas is an ultra right-wing, conservative, evangelical, racist, but evangelical Christian state, if you want to use that term. So, they make it easy. You know, they almost give you money for doing it. So in our instance, there's not even a need to open one. But even, I hate to say it, even our public school system have a tendency to lean toward evangelical Christian policies within the individual school board. So you can almost get away with sending them to public school. It's almost like sending them to a Christian school.
Oh, okay, okay, great. Pastor, I know you probably have to go, Pastor Ed, so thank you so much for, you know, jumping on and pressing your way. And I'll leave your mic open, and, you know, we're about to go into prayer, but, you know, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Y'all have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Charlene, why do you think with all of the Christian, the churches and people and educators and people with money, why, in your opinion, don't we have more Christian schools?
Well, some people that I have talked to about it, you know, they said that's pretty much what Pastor Ed said, you know, about the red tape. And then I said, well, why don't, you know, as us come together, but then it always goes into that everybody wants to be in charge, though. See, that's where one of the problems are, just as well as, you know, my church better than yours, you know. So a lot of times people don't want to come together, you know, and everybody put in together. Or, you know, you might not have the time to go to do the legal part, and you might can't, you know, instead of us just coming together. And I think that that's one that we don't have, because you're absolutely right. There's like 9, 10, 12 churches, and nowadays there's so many people who are renting in other buildings, so you just looking on the outside of that one,
right,
when actually
right.
there might be like 4 or 5 ministries in that one building,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because it's gotten to the place where that people are having services all during the week. You know, oh, well, I can't get a Sunday or a Sabbath, well, I'll do Monday, you know, and then we come and support you on this. But when it comes to far as the education part of the school, then it, you know, it does. It starts off that everybody's gung-ho with it. But then once you got to do all of those paperwork or go into the, you know, to get this done or a time for the money or whatever, then that's where it falls at. But everybody want to be there for the time when the door opens. But then it's like, who's in charge? You know, instead of us coming together, because we say there's no big eyes and no little U's, but when it comes to that, you know, people want to grandstand for this. So I think that that's one. If we can get to that place of us coming together, you know, I'm grateful to God for what he said that they do out there in Texas. That's a wonderful thing. I wish we could do that right here in New York.
Absolutely.
That would be great. A blessing.
Absolutely. Thank you. Pastor K.O., why do you think we have, you know, such difficulty having more Christian academies and schools? And like I said, I ain't talking about no nurseries or no daycares, but, you know, elementary, middle school, high school. What do you think seems to be the problem with the Christian community? Why can't we do this?
I mean, for a lot of reasons. One reason that we're lazy. You know, I hate to say it, but we're lazy. Everybody wants to be at the ribbon cutting service, but no one wants to do the legwork. And when it seems like you have an obstacle in your way, you automatically quit or say, no, I didn't sign up for this, or, you know, this is just too much. You don't take all that. You know, a lot of times when people can't take the pressure, they tell you it don't take all that. You know, a lot of times when they don't want to hear what the preacher's saying or the preacher's talking about you for too long, it don't take all that. You know what I mean? A lot of times we want stuff. We want the blessings, but we don't want to do the work to get the blessings because it don't take all that. You're supposed to just bless me because I want to be blessed. I'm supposed to just be able to open up the school because I say, you know, we can have a school. You ain't got no credentials. You ain't sent nobody to school to be able to teach. You know, it's a lot of work that goes into this stuff. And because, you know, the other side knows that we're not going to do the work, they're going to present it to us quickly. They're going to present it to us all the negative stuff or all the stuff that seemingly looks too hard to achieve. You know, but that's the problem. We're a lazy bunch of people who just want to shout and get tired. That's all. We want to shout ourselves out of some clothes, out of some heels, out of some ties, out of some suits, you know, and we always talk about for God I live and for God I die, but we don't want to do the work.
All right. Wow, what a conversation today. Oh, good one as always. Thank you, Pastor Ed, Pastor Charlene, and Pastor KL, for your contribution into today's Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. I pray that you have a blessed and wonderful day. Thank you.
Likewise.
You'll all do the same. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. We've got a comment or comments from our listeners. So let's see what the listening audience has to say. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay. Oh, so what are the comments from our listeners?
Okay, so a listener sent in, my 12 years of Catholic education, in my opinion, did me well. We were shielded from a lot of things that some public schools are exposed to. Because prayer and study was a part of our curriculum, we were given time to focus on God. Yes, there were things that we learned in school that as I aged, I had to relearn, but I wouldn't change one day because for the most part, it reaffirmed what I learned at home.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, listener. Any more comments?
No, that was all.
Okay. Do you have a comment?
Well, if I had to choose between putting my child in Catholic school or public school, I would put them in public. I completely agree with Pastor Ed. You know, it's one thing to send your child to school because wherever you're sending them to, you're going to be going against something that they're learning outside of what you're teaching them, especially if you're practicing the Christian faith. But it's one thing to send them to a Catholic school that is like the complete opposite, a complete opposite faith than the one that you're practicing and now teaching them what they're already being taught street-wise and faith-wise and now trying to convert daily what they're learning and, you know, a lot of the other disciplinary, you know, beliefs that they have. And then, of course, it's all you need is that one kid that knows a little more about it than the next one. And then now they're putting them on to the molestation and everything that, unfortunately, the Catholic faith is based on that a lot more than worshiping the statues at this point in the game, you know, rather than them learning, you teaching them, okay, you know, taking this to school isn't good or, you know, don't succumb to peer pressure or bullying. It's a more of a dangerous game, in my opinion, to now have to combat the spiritual battle every single day than just the street stuff that you have to deal with. I completely agree with Pastor Ed.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, I'm
thank
sorry.
You.
One more comment.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so a listener just sent in, I'll send my kids to public school due to the fact that I won't have to worry about the trauma the kids go through with a lot of the popes and the nuns. I'll do the work teaching my kids how to pray and how to read the Bible.
Okay, okay, okay. So we got two comments split, one on one side, one on the other. Thank you so much, Shantice, for relaying those comments. And thank you, listeners. I love what you have to say. Thank you so much. Have a good day, Shantice. Thank you.
You too.
All right, thank you. All right, we're going to turn these last couple of minutes into some prayer time. So let us hold hands and hold hearts as we go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, O God of our ages past and of our future, we give you thanks, O God, for just waking us up today, allowing us to see another day with new hope, with new experience, with new tender mercies, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, oh God, for the word that was shed here today, dear Heavenly Father, which would definitely give some thought to our options. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each and every individual would seek you for the direction that you would have us go into, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you, God, for an opportunity to just wake up and to just experience this journey each and every day, dear God. We ask you to bless our panel. We ask you, God, to bless our listeners, dear Heavenly Father, that we would not just be hearers, but that we would be doers of your word, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that you bless each and every one of our day, get us safely through until we meet again tomorrow. You should spare our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Wow. What a conversation. So I will weigh in on my personal, my feeling. You know, I remember years ago, my grandmother would, you know, it was, if I could remember correctly, you know, it was, you know, we're Sabbatarian. And, you know, I remember the things that she used to say about people coming to the Lord. And you know, Sabbatarian practice is rare. And it's an island-based, you know, it's more islanders than there are Americans. And we're Americans. So it wasn't a whole lot of us anyway. But I remember as I got older, you know, God started giving me some thought and some understanding. And, you know, it was an understanding that he gave me that it would be, you know, when a person accepts Christ into their life, that it's the beginning. You know, if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you know, at least, you know, you may not be walking into a Sabbatarian journey, but it would be a quest to have a relationship with God. And once that was presented, it would be a better foundation to now shift to what the Word of God says about worshiping on the seventh day, not eating pork, not celebrating Christmas, not celebrating Easter, all the things that, you know, the Sunday observers do. You know, once you begin to dig into the Bible for yourself, God would give you an understanding. So, you know, my thought was, okay, you know what? I just give God thanks when someone comes to the Lord, because by them doing, you know, their reading to show thyself approved, God would reveal to you the way you should go and what his word actually says and it doesn't say. But I have to say, it is not that way with Catholicism. I do not feel and share the same feeling about them. It's my personal preference. you know, I do not feel the same way about them. We know there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in church, period. And that's the saddest part because, you know, we are discipling people each and every day. And unfortunately, we're not discipling people into something pure. I don't care whether it's Catholicism, whether it's Baptist, Protestant, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventist. It's not pure, and that's the part that hurts the most, because we know that Jesus saves. We know that Jesus is the way to go. We know that. You know, it's the thing that God wants for all of his people, that no one should perish and that we all accept Jesus as our personal Savior. But it's an impure ground, plain and simple as that. It's so tainted. It's just like being in the pagan environment. However, this Catholicism has a level of evil, and has really shown to be very damaging over the years, and the them being exposed, and to the degree we have watched them crumble because of the sins. How many Catholic hospitals, things where people were being, you know, lives are being saved, you know. Schools where that discipline and education, that higher education was great. You know, that part of the downfall, you know, that was good, suffered. You know, those people suffered because of their sinfulness. You know, I don't, you know, that was never an option for me, you know, even as an unsaved mother. You know, I just wasn't drawn to the Catholic school, whether I had the money or not. But as a woman of God, on the level where I am today, if I was told Mariah was going to a Catholic school, I'd be enraged. But no, because I like Pastor Ed. I already feel that as a parent these days, we are already up against enough. And I am not about to fight moral, you know, behavior and teaching and the corrupt church and godly teaching of the Catholic Church. I'm not battling both. I feel that if our journey and our relationship with God is strong enough that, you know, how many of us were brought up in our public schools and we did not turn out bad? You know, you wouldn't know that I didn't go to a Catholic school. My behavior wasn't any different. So it's about how we raise our children. I know we're up against something much different than years ago, but I would rather take my chances and have them learning one mode of godliness, one focus of who Jesus is, who God is. There are no Marys that we're worshiping. We're not doing no rosary beads and all of that, because to me, undoing all of that is a bit too much, and that's too much of a battle. They're already battling going to school, and I believe Shanti said it and Pastor Ed have said it. They're already battling enough. Now we got to battle that and Christ and God. Nah, that's all right. I'll pass. We'll just have to learn how to do whatever we need to do from home, and we'll have to take that battle and that battle alone. And that's just my personal thought. But, you know, it's an excellent conversation to be had. Let God dictate and determine, you know, what you do with your children. Okay, so now I'm down to pretty much I love you. Oh, be blessed until tomorrow, where it's Wow Wednesday. Thank you so much, my due time crew and my listeners, for getting involved in the conversation. I pray that you have a blessed and wonderful day.